That's right. God made each of us to connect to Him and to each other. That's why you're assigned next to the person you're sitting next to. No, go ahead and look at him. It's okay. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. You can't be that close to somebody not look at him. Because you'll find out, hopefully, in our message today that God has assigned us to be blessings to each other. In fact, as we wrap up our series on connections, I want to impress upon you that God wants us to connect with each other deeper and further than we ever had before. It was back, Shannon, in June 10th, when Bill Wilson met with a group, in a similar context. He met with a group of individuals who had been struggling. Bill noted their struggle, and they were struggling because they were entangled in the entrapment of addiction. So Bill Wilson, in his concern, began to meet with these individuals in a group-like fashion. And from it, he realized that they were able to gain strength from one another, to overcome the addictions, a program that we now know as AA, Alcoholic Anonymous. Now, what Bill started with, he didn't think of on his own. In fact, he was listening to a minister by the name of Sam Shoemaker, who was teaching about the blessings of the group dynamic. But Sam didn't come up with that on his own. Where do you think Sam got his information from? Let me introduce you to Champion Forest Baptist Church here at Jersey Village. The pastor doesn't ask rhetorical questions. So where do you think Sam received his inspiration for the dynamic of group meetings? Where do you think he got that from? The Holy Word of God. You're right. You're right. And today I solicit your prayers as I'm striving to model somewhat of what a group dynamic would look like. Many of you, if you've been here before, you know that this is quite a challenge. And so I'm going to ask for your prayers that the staff, I think, is waging whether or not I can stay seated throughout this entire time. But I'm going to do my best, because I want to invite your attention to the second chapter of Acts. Second chapter of Acts, and there you may find a familiar time and season in the life of the church. Many describe this band of believers as the early church. I like to remind us that they are the church, and it's a reflection to all of us of what the church is really supposed to look like. Right there in the 41st verse of the second chapter of Acts. When you get there, you'll find words similar to these. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves. Somebody say devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship. Someone say fellowship. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Today, in our last installment in our series on connections, I want to impress upon you to know that the church, and in the church, through the church, and through church groups, you'll be able to find connections you can count on. Father, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us to search your words and have your word to search us, that our hearts might become fertile soil for the seed of your word. And by receiving it wholeheartedly, we would learn to love each other better, in loving you more. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. See, Acts chapter 2 records the beginning of the church, how the believers who followed Christ and heard his command after the resurrection, they followed it, and they followed it to the degree when Christ said for them to wait in Jerusalem, that they did exactly what Jesus said. If you're taking notes, that might be something noteworthy to write down. that believers do what Jesus says. I don't see you writing, so I'm hoping that you got that already down, text it to your friend. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for the person next to you. But it's good for us to know that. So they did what Jesus said, and they're waiting in the upper room, and they're at a time which was called Pentecost. The Holy Spirit then comes, fills the room, fills every believer, and the church officially was born. It's interesting when we look at the text, particularly verse 41, that when God added to the church, God did not add people to the church without saving them first. Oh, get this. And God did not save them without adding them to the church. Which helps us to realize that having a close connection with fellow believers is critical to godly living. It's vital if we're going to be all that God has called us to be, that we need to be in connection with one another. And just in case we might misunderstand each other, Cass, I'm not suggesting that our connection is limited to that of coffee by the coffee bar. Not that our connection is limited to that of we're seated in the same area, so we're sharing the same air and space. No, there's a greater connection that God has called his church to. And when we get in alignment with God's designed environment for believers to grow, we will find that we are more connected than ever before. So I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, to evaluate, how far does your connections go? When the church came together, notice how the Bible says that it was God who added to the church. He added, which means he added them to a group that they were not originally a part of. They were added to the congregational number. They were included in the number. And I love the fact they were added because it tells us then the value of the one who is added is no less than the value of the ones who are already there. I hope you're tracking with me for a moment. And so he asked them to the church, and there's a reason for that. Because let's be honest, even if we don't want to admit it all the time, we need each other to help each other live the way God wants us to live. Oh, man, why don't you help me preach just for a moment? I'm preaching from a seated position, so I guess that means I should be teaching and conversing with you. So let me take on my converse posture. Would you just help me by communicating with your neighbor and tell them we need each other? Yeah, we need each other. The body of Christ was never built to operate alone. In fact, when we come together as the body of Christ, we come together and become the very environment Christ designed for godly living. You do remember in Matthew, the 16th chapter? Loretta, you remember it. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he was asking them what was the local rumor mill about who he was, and some said he was John the Baptist, some said he was Elijah. Then Jesus turns it and he asks them, well, what are you tweeting about me? What are you saying about me, who I am? And then Peter steps up. You remember that? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the... I got some Sunday school folk in here. The living God, flesh and blood, Christ says, didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And look what he says. And upon that truth, upon this rock, I will build my church. So the church is the designed environment built by God for believers in God to grow. Which then means that our growth is restricted, is hampered. It's deterred when we refuse to connect with each other. Oh, come on. You're in this group with me, aren't you? Go ahead and nod your head yes if you're in this group with me. You're in this group with me, right? I mean, let's be honest. You have groups that you depend on to go out with. You have groups that you can call on to go to social gatherings with. You have groups you call on to go eat out with. I know we're Baptists, so I know you meet, greet, and eat. We have groups we call on to exercise with. You ought to have a group you call on to pray with. You ought to be able to have a group you can call on to go deeper in God's word with. For really, that is what the early church did. In the context of groups that they could count on, groups that mattered, notice the text in verse 42. It said, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Don't run past that, because the mark and distinction of a believer is that we are devoted. Somebody say devoted. That means that we have a mutual commitment. We are giving ourselves to another lifestyle. They were devoted. Notice what they were devoted for. Or to, rather. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking bread. And this is in the context of worship. We'll get there in a moment. And they were devoted to praying. Notice, they were devoted as a group to being connected to God through his teachings. Notice the text says they are devoted to the apostles' teaching. This is not that they were just devoted to listening to it. They weren't just devoted to leaning in and hearing someone else talk about God's teaching. No, the text speaks of an active posture that they were devoted to it, which speaks to obedience. They were obedient to the testimony of Christ. And if we were to be truthful, in order for us as believers to really have this kind of devotion that would have us be obedient to what God says, you know, some of those hard teachings that Christ told us, where he says, forgive those who persecute you. Those hard teachings. Do good to those who... somebody know Bobby. I don't want to repeat that, though. Y'all ready to repeat the other one, but no, y'all don't want to say that part, huh? Do good to those who despitefully use you. That if someone hurts you and harms you, you do good to them, because in doing so, you're putting coals of fire upon their head. I know. You don't get many amens on those kinds of teachings. When he says forgive, when he says don't hold a grudge against your neighbor, get this one. When Christ says, don't even call your neighbor raka, which we translate a fool. He says, if you call your neighbor, some of you feeling guilty already. I'm sorry. It's in the Bible. He says, you'll be guilty of hell's flame. Those hard teachings. If we're honest about it, our connections with each other encourages ongoing devotion. Because get this. We won't be as devoted as we think we will be if we don't have others to connect to. Because every now and then you need somebody to check you, to hold you accountable. Every now and then, Nestor, we need someone to come alongside and help us be who God has called us to be. Am I bowling down anybody lane this morning where you can say, that's right? I mean, we need each other. Notice the text. The text says they're added together, and together they're keeping each other devoted. We need that because they were devoted in the practice of obedience. They're devoted in the practice of togetherness. The Bible says fellowship. That's the old school word for togetherness. If you grew up in a church that I grew up in, we'd sing that song time to time. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning. I knew I had some seasoned saints up in here. Leaning on the everlasting. My new school people are like, what are you talking about? Fellowship. It conveys a sense of commonality. That we are grouped together. Because, Ayana, there's some things that we have in common. He said that they were together in fellowship. It's important that we get this because when we come together as a body of believers, we actually fulfill the very prayer request our Savior made in John 17. For in his high priestly prayer, he prayed, God, make them one as we are one. And listen, we need each other. I'm going to tell you from my own personal testimony, because as I was walking out and I was enjoying this summertime breeze that the Lord has blessed us with the warm air that I always appreciate. Don't look at me like I'm strange. I do. I appreciate what the Lord has brought, particularly in the summertime, and I'm okay with the temperature that's out there. However, there was a time in my life, Pastor Benny, where I wasn't too okay with this. I wasn't. There was a time recently, actually, because I don't know what came over me. As I understand now how we need each other in order for us to maintain devotion, something came over me. That's why you ought to pray for your pastor. Because Curtis, what happened was, I saw a flyer that said something about boot camp. I saw it one summer. It said boot camp. And I was looking at myself. You know, I was checking myself out. I realized that the cleaners wasn't shrinking all my clothes. I had to bear some responsibility in that. I had done something to lead to the condition that I was in. And so I came across a flyer in the church called boot camp. I did my investigation, and I realized, oh, these are church members who are gathering together to be good stewards of the body that God has given them. I was excited. I was motivated. I appreciated it. And so there I was. I signed up for boot camp. First and last time. But then nevertheless, I signed up for boot camp. It happened this way. And there I was. I was in boot camp. I thought these good, godly Christian folk would be with me. And there it was. They were challenging me to do things that I hadn't done since I was in high school. Like, who goes to a high school stadium to run up and down the bleachers? I mean, why would you? I'm just saying. And I was feeling muscles in my body that I didn't feel in a long time. And there I was, Lorraine, I was doing it, but I was looking for a nurse nearby because I thought that my heart was going to give out. And this is my own personal testimony here. I was going to the boot camp. They encouraged me, and I did it. I survived to the end of the day. And then I looked at them. And one of the brothers said, now, Pastor, we're going to see you next time, right? Yes, because I'm committed. But I didn't get the memo, Brother Al, that they weren't meeting that next week. So that next week, I went to the same place, and I had my outfit on, and I had my glasses on, my shades on, because I didn't want anybody to recognize me when I give up on the bleachers. And so I was there by myself, and I thought, you know what? I'm gonna do this. And I ran around the track a few times, Pastor Benny, and that was all right. I was breathing hard. I took a few more breaks than we did the last time, but that was okay. And then I saw the bleachers, and they were telling me, convincing me, you're supposed to run up us. And I said, I'll do it. And I started running. And just when I was almost at the top, my body asked me a question. What are you doing? And I agree with my body that I wasn't supposed to be doing that. And I never achieved what I was able to achieve when I was with a small group who could encourage me to achieve it. Come here, brothers and sisters. We have what we call here life groups. And it's in the context of life group that we get together, because the truth be told, we will never be as spiritually strong as we are designed to be if we stay apart from the group. There's so much we can accomplish in the context of a corporate meeting. There's certain things we can accomplish with all of us in here. But guess what? There's only certain things we can accomplish when we come together in a smaller group where we can hold each other accountable, where we can tell each other that we're in it together, where we can devote ourselves to the Bible together, so that when you see someone in your group messing up, you can love them enough to say, now, you know, we don't do that. We need somebody like that in our lives. The text says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It says they devoted themselves to fellowship, which means they had more in common than just we're of the same season in life. No, that they understood that their devotion was to God first. And get this, we can't be devoted to God and not be devoted to the very people God loves. So in a small group, we're able to accomplish that. We are able to grow together in unity. We're able to grow together in togetherness. But not only does it say that, it says they were in fellowship, but they're also in the breaking of bread. And this constitutes the Lord's Supper, where they're celebrating the goodness of God together. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm of the kind that I can have church in my car by myself. You're looking at me funny, but I'm not the only one up in here. Anybody in here, you get your praise on before you come? Yeah, we got a few of us in here. Well, you can worship, but hear me. That's wonderful. I love being there in that sacred place with God, but it's nothing like getting together with someone else who knows God the way you know God, thankful to God the way you're thankful to God, someone that even when you're feeling down, when you come in the presence of the assembly, it has a way of lifting you up. You got anybody in your life like that? I know you do, because you're here. And it's in the body of Christ that we grow together, particularly in a small group. So they came together in breaking of the bread, and the text says, and they came together in prayer. Let me park here for a moment, y'all. Because if you've been living long enough, if you've been going through the seasons of life long enough, then you'll come to realize that sometimes you need to get somebody who will pray for you. I'm talking to some real people for a moment. Have you ever been there before? Where the Bible says you didn't even know what to pray for. You were in a jam. Grandma said you between a rock and a hard place. You were in a place you put yourself, and you didn't know how to get out. But then God reminded you of somebody who's an intercessor, somebody who's a prayer partner, somebody who said they would pray for you. And guess where you found them? You found them right here in the church. And you ought to have somebody. If you got somebody, go out with you. If you got somebody, go to the movies with you. If you got somebody who will ride or die with you, that's not for y'all, that's for them. Then if you got somebody, you ought to have somebody who will worship and pray with you. And we find those individuals in the church. For in a large group, we can pray in a corporate gathering. But it's in the smaller groups where you can pray specifically. We get to tell each other what we're really going through. You have that in what we call life groups. And why do we call them life groups? Because these groups identify that when there is a mutual connection, as body of believers come together, we practice obedience, we practice worship, we practice fellowship, we practice prayer. They represent that place, that context where we can just be ourselves. You know why groups are important? Because groups are the place where you can come in and be yourself, be accepted for who you are, be loved enough to challenge you not to stay the way you are, because you are loved by people who know they've been loved by God. I hope you caught that. Yeah. And that's why we come together in small groups. So here's a question. Have you found your group yet? Ah, you got quiet on me here. But here at Jersey Village on our campus, we have over 15 different life groups. We are offering two more life groups by next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're offering two more life groups. Next Sunday is our promotion Sunday. And we want that Sunday to be the Sunday where everybody be a part of a life group. A life group, that's an interesting term. When I grew up, it was called Sunday school. Why is it called life group? What is this newfound church stuff that you're talking about? Well, I submit to you, it's right there in text. Because you read the Bible in text, the Bible goes on to tell us not only did they meet together and they pray together, but they saw God's movement together. And look at the text. The text says, and day by day, I love it in verse 46, it says, day by day they were attending together, day by day. I think an unintentional consequence of the term Sunday school, it causes us to think that the only time we're supposed to connect, be together, be unified is on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the church, the first church as it is established, you realize that they did life together every day, day by day. And there ought to be some people in the context of the church that you can talk to every day. Now, Brother Bosco, I'll be honest with you. Not all my friends are Christ followers, but my closest friends follow Christ. And you ought to find that in the context of the church. They practiced prayer together because they were in a small group. Why is this important? I learned this once when I was trying to be a good husband. Any young husbands in here? Raise your hand. If you've been married for 20 years, raise your hand. 20 or less. Raise your hand. Let me see. Yeah, you're still a young husband. You're still a young husband. Huh? See, as a young husband, man, I'm telling you, my brother, I was trying to learn this thing as a young husband, and it really, the Lord reminded me of it when we were preparing this message. Why it's important to have small groups, because I was trying to do my contribution in the kitchen, and to all the brothers in the house, and you're a young brother, hear me, listen. This is a good time for you to listen in. All right, I volunteered to wash the dishes without being asked. Don't look at my wife right now because she probably don't remember when that was. But but I remember. And Brother Al, I volunteered to wash the dishes, and this is where I learned something. Shannon, I went to wash, and I saw the dish detergent, and I began to fill up the sink with the dish detergent until the water changed colors to match the dish detergent. My wife saw my means and methodology of cleaning dishes, came up to me and said, "Baby, you're so heavy-handed." I said, "Heavy-handed? What do you mean?" She said, "You don't need that much detergent." She don't know how, where I grew up at. Where I grew up, she don't know how I grew up. You needed that and then some. And if you left some, you got some of that other detergent. But it's okay. She said, "You don't need that kind of detergent." I said, "Yes, you do. I've been washing dishes all my life. I know how to wash dishes." Young married. I know how to wash dishes. She said, "You don't need that," said Anthony, "because this detergent is concentrated." I said, "Concentrated?" She said, "Yeah, only a few drops to do you." Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. When you get in a church life group, it's big church concentrated. It's when you get together and you pray together and you learn together and you grow together greater than you're able to do in the large context. But I hear you. I see you. Today marks a year that I've been with this fellowship, and I've heard some objections to being a part of life groups. I listen to you. I gotta hurry on. I listen to you. I heard objections like, "I just haven't been able to connect with people." Mm-hmm. I heard that objection. You probably heard that before. Those people aren't like that. They don't come from where I come from. Well, that depends on what you're coming to connect to. Because if you're connecting for politics and proclivities, if you're connecting to ethnicity, then you're right. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But believers, what they were devoted to and what they were connected to was God. And get this, that when you connect to God, you always have a place of connection. Because when you are connected to God and you love God and you love God's people, you understand that God will use you to connect to other people in your life group. Come on, let me meddle just a little bit longer as I invite some folk up to join me in my group here. Secondly, I've heard it before said, I've gotten hurt when I tried to get close to people in church. And you know there's no hurt like church hurt. Well, let me go ahead and correct that. Hurt is hurt no matter where you feel it. That's number one. And if that is your experience in the group and context of a church, in a small group, let me help you remember something, that it was a group that God used to get you to know him the way you know him. It was a group that God used to get you to know of salvation, that it comes from Jesus Christ. It was a group that God used to help you understand God's love for you. And if a group hurts you, guess what? When you come to the church, you'll find a group that God will use to heal you. There are other objections out there that people use. One of the funniest ones to me is the one when somebody said, "Anthony, I'm about to stand up. I feel it in my bones, but I'm trying to hold it." I heard it the other day. It said, "I've been walking with God a long time. I know my Bible, been studying the Bible for a long time. I don't need to be a part of any of these new life groups." It reminds me of a story I heard of an elderly saint. Text says, brother, the story goes that he lost his hearing and he lost his sight. And he was still coming to his life group. And a young guy asked him, "Brother, tell me, why are you still coming?" This is what he said. He said, "I keep coming because I want them to know what side I'm on." Get this, that you got to keep coming. If God has blessed you, that you have a knowledge of the Bible, maybe you don't need a life group, but there's a life group that needs you. And God wants you to pour into lives of others. In fact, life groups are so important that through our life groups, through our connections, it promotes a greater sense of unity and ministry. I got some Columbia Mission Team group out here in the congregation. Those who went on our Columbia Mission Trip, let me see you. Why don't you stand up? Those who went on our Columbia Mission Trip, why don't you stand up? They are a group of life groups. Keep standing, because the Lord used them, 671 people were treated medically, 515 people were a part of VBS, and 116 people accepted Christ as their Savior, because as a life group and a group of life groups, they went out to make a difference. You know what? Let me go and ask some of you all to come up in here. Come up here and join me for a moment. Let me go ask... Four of you ladies were supposed to come up with me. Young professionals, there you all got two from Young Professionals Life Group and two from Grace Connection. Give them a hand while they come up. Well, good to see you, baby. Good to see you. You know, we family, so we hug around here. Welcome to the group. Welcome to the group. Welcome to the group. Have a seat. Vanessa, give me a hug. Bless you, baby. Bless you. Now, first of all, do you see how they look when I'm up here? They look good, don't they?
They sure do.
They look like a blessed group of people, don't they?
Very blessed.
All right. Here we go. Well, I've invited Sonia. In fact, why don't you introduce yourselves to the congregation and tell them what life group you're a part of.
My name is Sonia Reese, and I'm a part of the Young Professionals group here.
Liz Stock, a part of the Young Professionals group.
All right, Young Professionals. Any Young Professionals in the house? All right, we got a life group for you.
I'm Vanessa Ramirez, and I'm from the Grace Connection group.
All right, I hear you. I got a crowd out there.
Paulette Laurent, Grace Connection.
And listen, there is a connection that you have to make, and I'm praying that you make it. Before our Sunday experience ends, that you make it and you pray for what group God wants to have you a part of. I invite these ladies to come up because these ladies were part of our Columbia mission team, and what really struck me was that our team was made up of groups of life groups. And so I invite these ladies to come up and just to tell us a little bit about that experience. In fact, Liz, I'll start with you. Liz, why don't you give us an example of how being a part of a small group has impacted your spiritual growth?
I would say kind of this year is more in prayer and how to go deeper and more specific with that. Being in the mission field, you notice spiritual warfare and have enemy attacks, and you know it happens here locally and wherever we're at, but in the mission field it just seems more just in your face and you're just like, whoa. And so with our life group, we've been able to go real deep over the last year and just have just kind of those walls broken down and praying together, reading the Bible together. And so having Sonia in the mission field with me, you know, there's times where there's just this heaviness and this overwhelming fear, I guess, that's not really rational. You don't know why, you know, it could be hot or whatnot, but, you know, having that friend and that confidant that you can just go to in prayer, because, you know, when two or more are gathered, it just helps bring that peace. And so that's just been the most beautiful, impactful thing for us this year, was just that deeper connection and knowing you have that partner.
So that's the kind of connection you can count on.
Yes.
All right. Well, Sonia, you're part of that same young professional singles group. So tell us, how has being in a life group, particularly even on the mission field, how has that bettered your daily life?
Okay, since I'm in church and you're asking me this, I have to confess, I was the one that said, I do not want to be in a life group, and I refused for 4 years. I know, it's shocking. but some very faithful people weekly said, not just her, multiple of you guys, y'all know who you are, continued saying, hey, you should come to our life group and come to our life group. And I was like, I'm good. I don't need a life group. I like to sneak in, and I like to sneak out and leave. So I know some of y'all are surprised by this, but it's truth. But being a part of a life group has actually been such a blessing, because after I finally joined them, it's been really great to have people to live life with. We go out to lunch, or we'll go out to dinner, or we'll have game nights. But most importantly, like what she was saying, we have somebody that I can call in the middle of the night and say, hey, girl, I'm struggling. I need you to pray for me. And, you know, there's been many times where me and a couple of the other ladies have just been deeply in prayer for one another. Or also another fun thing that we do as a life group is, some of us at New Year's Eve decided, since we were all having a fellowship game night, that we should read the Bible through together this year. So there's several of us that are doing that this year, and that's been really fun to kind of dive in and read scripture together, because not only are we growing on the spiritual side of prayer, but we also are reading through scriptures together and kind of having those conversations throughout the week.
Beautiful. So life groups is a connection that really counts, that you can count on. Is that right?
I would absolutely agree with that.
All right. Thank you. Well, now, Grace Connection, is there grace in your group?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot of grace in your group? That means everybody is welcome to be a part of your group?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
we have open doors.
Open doors. I'm glad you said that, because every life group is an open group. which means you're always welcome to be a part of a life group. And you can visit all the life groups and just be a part of it, and you're able to see that dynamic that you're not able to really capture in a larger context. Well, tell me, ladies from Grace Connection, Sister Paulette, let me start with you. What is a shared experience from being on the Colombian mission field with your life group member? What is an experience that you took away this year?
Well, Pastor, this mission trip has changed my life. I will never be the same person.
Have you been on mission trips before?
First mission trip. I said to myself for my birthday this year, instead of going on vacation and do something I wanted to do, I wanted to, before I meet my maker, to go on mission. And that's what I did. That was my vacation, was to go on mission and do for others.
Yeah.
And Vanessa and I connected even before I knew her name, she and her son. So I was in one life group, and, you know, like you say, test the waters and see where you best fit. So I visited Grace Connection by invitation of more than one lady, and I get there, and I said, oh, I know her already. I don't know her name, but I know her. And for those who might say, especially mega churches, oh, the church is so big, and it's this, and you'll never, the best thing I could suggest is to get in a small group, be it life group, if you're in choir, if you're an usher, a greeter, whatever, that's where you make connections, little by little by little.
Amen.
Personally, I don't need to know 500, 5,000, 20,000 people. I don't need to know that many people intimately. I'm not going to, but you find where you connect, and it makes all the difference in the world. And that's how I've met a lot of new members here at JV, because of small groups. Now, on mission, I want to publicly say to this friend, sister in Christ, Vanessa, who took care of me, I know 6 words in Spanish. This one made sure she was with me at the airports in case there were any language barriers. She had me covered. And she let Nestor or Lee or whomever say, hey, don't worry about Paulette, I've got her. When I bought things, she did the negotiation for me to get the most bang for the buck, or the Colombian peso. And one experience I'd really like to zero in on, it was the last day at one of the rancherias that Vanessa was on medical team. I was on VBS. So we found each other, and we just took a nice little walk on the far end of the rancheria to visit the long outdoor kitchen, mud floor. It was just an experience. Then we saw some of the Baylor medical team doing delicing, and a lady was doing her craft. And we kind of sauntered on to the far side as the materials were being delivered for the 2 new casas that were going to be built. The excitement, and these are funds from Jersey Village.
Yeah.
The 2x4s, the 2x2s, the door, and whatever, those are the materials for the home, plus however they do it with the mud and whatever kind of a thing. And the excitement. And we had the pleasure of meeting a single parent, a dad who is raising his 5 children, and they had been selected to be a recipient of one of those casas. The pride in his face, the love of Christ that he had, he walked us over to show us the land he had cleared for his home, and that he wanted to be an example of how to keep everything clean, because we did see a lot of litter. And so he was just excited, come and see where we're going to be. And hoping that we would be back next year to see them in their home. And so the love, and I'm one that asks a lot of questions, I'll be honest. So I had a lot of questions, and my translator friend took care of me. And it was just a joy. Then on a personal note, we're talking back and forth. She has relatives that live in my hometown. Mm. Had we not talked, I would not have known that.
That's right.
That's my experience.
Indeed, indeed. And that's what we read in text when we see in verse 44, and all who believed were together. They had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them to all that had need. Something special about being a part of a life group and being able to do missions for the first time as life group partners. God bless you. Vanessa, tell me, what's my fourth question? How has your mission experience bettered your relationship and appreciation for your life group?
There are many things that I can share. It'd take too long. But one of the main things that came to mind was that without my life group, I wouldn't have had this experience. It was the first time, and Paulette and I connected the same way. We said, I want to do that mission trip. It was a milestone birthday for me. Mm. So my family allowed me to do that. Yeah. I have a 12-year-old son. And that was difficult because you have to find the time, mm-hmm. the resources. But in all actuality, our group, Grace Connection, really supported us. They were so enthused to hear that we were going on this mission trip. Yeah. And one thing for me was that when I first connected, I went to Grace, and I didn't cherry pick. I saw that grace, I felt that grace, and I stayed at Grace Connection.
Yeah.
And throughout the years, they approached me to teach. Mm. So that's the importance, because for me, when they approached me to teach, I said, I'm not worthy. I don't know where to even begin. I don't know the Bible back and front. And these ladies encouraged me, and they continue to encourage me every time I teach. Yeah. And that's the appreciation that I have for every single one of those ladies in that group, yeah. that they love on each other, they love on me. I have a school-age son, so they've been through that experience. Yeah. So they support me with the 12-year-old in the house, and also encouraging me to go out on that limb that you're not comfortable with. Mm. And for me, that was it, was that mission trip. Yeah. Because I had a lot of excuses, you know, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's your family, whether it's work, or you're not working. And those were all the excuses that I had. And this year, after we spoke on the phone one time, Paulette and I had it on my heart, and Paulette was making that decision, and it's like, I'm going. Mm. This year, I am going. And it was a wonderful trip. Yeah. And in actuality, you don't even know what gifts you bring to the table. Mm. And when you expose yourself and come out and do service, whether it's here or abroad, God works in mysterious ways.
That he does.
And he really makes those gifts shine.
Indeed, indeed. But when we're committed, give him a hand. When we're committed to being part of a group, we realize that it is that group that encourages us to do and to be who God has called us to be. But group connections are limited in their ability to transform unless the primary connection has already been made in your life. Amen. Our lives are like lamps on a lampstand. They look nice, and they, fellas, this thing works. Oh, okay, my bad. You're messing up my illustration. They're like lamps. Without power, You never fully see the purpose that God designed for them to be. But when you're connected to God and God is in your heart, He is the power that saves and transforms your life so that when He connects you to others, you can be a blessing in their lives as well.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.